acknowledge my thanksgiving to the Lord for His protection and His provision. I have met your pastor in days past in meetings, and it has been a joy just to worship with him in services. There are many of you whom I have never met before, and whom that you have never met me. And when you come to a new place, there's always people that sit in the congregation and they're wondering, can he or can he? Well, I've got an answer for that. Unless the Lord touches us, ain't nobody going to do nothing. But some of you have said, well, we don't know who this man is. Well, you hadn't got nothing on me. I don't know who you are either. So we're on level ground. But it is a joy to be here in these services. And I pray that during these nights, God would do a work in our hearts. I'd like to see a moving of God in the lives of God's people. If you're willing and able, I would ask that you stand at the reading of God's Word. If the Lord doesn't change my mind the nights that I'm here, I want to deal with a thought which I've been preaching on at our own church for quite some time. There are several occasions where Christ speaks only three words. In fact, I have found 11 different occasions. There could be others, but in these nights I want to deal with some of these occurrences where Christ only says or speaks three words. He can say more in three words than I could say in a lifetime. And I believe the emphasis is not upon quantity. The emphasis is upon quality. Verse 35 says, and the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Brother Vermin, would you lead our hearts to prayer before we preach? Christ had spent the entire day teaching the multitudes in parables. He was physically tired and weary, and the disciples take him on board the ship, even as he was, the scripture says. And then there arose a great wind upon the sea, so that the ship was now full. The disciples run to the Savior and say, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" Christ arose and said, "Peace, be still." This evening I want to think on these three words: peace, be still. They are three words of control. Christ makes it known clearly that He is in control of the elements of nature. When it seemed that everything was out of control, Christ had everything under thumb. Tonight, it is a consolation to my heart to know that my Savior has the reins of the universe in His hand. It is a comfort to my life to know that He is in charge of it all. I would hate to think tonight that my enemies were in control over the affairs and the events of my life. But to know that the Savior is in charge, that He handles it all, is a joy and a consolation to my heart. I want you to look at these three words tonight. They have a direct relationship the saints, or to these sailors, if you please, who are on board ship with the Savior. Christ has said, "Let us go over to the other side." The storm arises, and the ship finally gets full. They have labored, they have toiled, trying to continue on their journey. But now the situation is desperate. There is a crisis. The ship is about to sink. And they run to the Savior. Tonight they are involved in going over to the other side. They are rowing the boat. They are working on board the ship. They are doing everything in their power to go to the other side. Aren't you glad the Lord includes us in His work? And tonight, I did not come to these services to sit on the sidelines. I've come to be involved in what's going on. If it's worship, I want to be part of it. whatever it may be, these sailors, these saints were involved. They came to the Savior and they really insulted His integrity and His character. They said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And tonight, before we judge them for their foolish speaking, there have been times in our own life when we felt like, did the Lord really care? Does the Lord really care about where I'm at? But tonight, they turn to Christ. Their crises drives them to the Savior. And tonight, that's how it ought to be in our life. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know how hard the winds are blowing upon your life. I don't know how full your ship may be. But tonight, my advice and counsel is run to the Savior. Turn to the Lord. Cry out to Him just like the disciples did on the stormy sea. There's the second thing that is involved, not only the sailors, but I want to say something about the saved. And I just want to mention, then I want to move on to the third point, and that's where I want to just stay for a little while. The saying, "Peace, be still." Christ directs this saying to the storm at hand. The words of our Savior are pointed and directed. He is not just speaking words to hear Himself speak. He is not just giving some oration or speech. He has directed His Word to the need of the hour. He speaks to the sea and to the wind. And tonight, aren't you glad the Word of God knows how to point out things in our life? Isn't it amazing? You come to church and you feel like the preacher is preaching directly to you. And there's a whole congregation of folks that are sitting there. But that's the way the Word of God is. It is directed to the need. And tonight, Christ speaks directly to the sea and to the storm. I remember that night when He spoke to my heart in conviction, pointed me out in front of everybody. And nobody really knew what God was doing. But I thought everybody knew what was going on. But He pointed me out. The Word of the Lord is directed. The Word of the Lord is decisive. Immediately the storm ceased. And it left no doubt or no question to the abilities of our Savior. It made it clear that it was at His Word the storm hushed. It was not a coincidence that Christ spoke these three words and then the storm ceased. It was not a coincidence. It was a demonstration of the character and the ability of our Lord. And tonight, there are no coincidences in the lives of God's people. There is a providential God who looks over our life. Nothing has ever happened by accident to the children of God. It's all passed through the knowledge of God Almighty and His will. Oh, bless His name tonight. The Word of the Lord is decisive. But this is where I want to get at tonight. These three words have a direct relationship to the Savior. You see, this whole miracle brings the focal point and the attention to Christ. And tonight, everything we do in this meeting should ultimately bring honor and glory to Him. The attention of this meeting is not on the preacher or the personalities or the program. The attention of this meeting should be focused upon who Christ is and who the Lord is. And this miracle brought attention to the Savior. The disciples cried and said, "Behold, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" And tonight, when these days are past, I would to God we'd never remember what the preacher had to say, but we'd remember that the Lord met with us in power and glory, that God got honor from all that is said and done. The three things I want to say about the Savior tonight in this miracle. Number one, this miracle, these words that He speaks has something to say about His person. Christ, in this event in life, shows us His humanity and also His deity. Now, He is not part man, nor is He part God. He is neither 50% man and 50% God. But tonight, He is 100% man and 100% God. He portrays that in this miracle. He reveals His person. For we find that He shows His humanity by becoming tired at the day's work. But He shows Himself divine by triumphing over the storm. Humanly, He is exhausted, but divinely, He eradicates the storm. Humanly, He is sleeping on the ship, but divinely, He controls the ship and the storm, both at the same time. Humanly, He is laying down, but He shows Himself to be divine by laying down the storm. Humanly, He is weary, but divinely, He wrestles the wind out of the stormy wind. Oh, bless His name tonight. He's the God-man. He's not an angel. He's not a seraphim. He's not a created being, but He's God manifested in the flesh. God stepped out of heaven, come down to earth, born in a manger in Bethlehem. He's God. He's God. Oh, bless His name. He's the Lord. It reveals His person. But then there is something to be said about His position. Scripture says in verse 38, "And He was in the hinder part of the ship." The term hinder, if you find the definition of that word, it is the helm of the ship. It is where the captain of the ship abides. It is where the one who steers the ship resides. What is wrong with so many of our lives tonight? We want to sit in the seat where the captain is supposed to be sitting. And here he is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And let me declare tonight, he is the captain of our salvation. He is the master of our lives. And we ought to give him free rein. He ought to be Lord in our lives. We ought to bow in submission to his will and to his way. He's never been a co-pilot. He's either pilot or it's nothing at all in our life. You don't make him Lord. He's already Lord. Bless his name. Want to bow in submission. Want to bow in humility. Say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done.
His
position. Then there's a third thing. I want to say something about his posture. The Bible said that he was asleep on the pillow. Well, that was interesting. Best I can figure out, Brother Powers, he is a laying down. There are many times in the Scriptures where his posture is described. You'll find places where the Lord is sitting. He sat in the boat and taught the multitudes by the sea. He said and allowed the little children to come and sit upon his lap. And you find him sitting in places in the Scripture. Other places you find that he is walking or he is kneeling down. He knelt down when they brought that woman taken in adultery. He stoops down and writes in the sand and say, ye that were without sin cast the first stone. And they all began to leave. He is kneeling down. He is stooping down. He kneels in the Garden of Gethsemane and there he prays. Other places you'll find that Christ is standing. Stephen can attest to that. When they were stoning him, Christ had ascended to the Father, to the Majesty on high, and he had been seated by his side. But when Stephen was being stoned, he looked up into heaven, and the Lord was no longer seated. He was standing, waiting for Stephen to come on home. I'm glad he stands up every once in a while. But here he's laying. As far as I can find, there are at least four times the Scriptures allude to the fact that the Savior is laying. And every time you see him laying, it is just preceding a time in which God manifests his glory and his power. You'll find in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, that the saints were praising because of him. Luke chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. He's lying in a manger. And then suddenly the heavenly host breaks forth in glorious praise. They say, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace. I want you to know tonight that during the Christmas season they try to twist that around and try to make it mean that we're at peace with one another. That ain't got a thing to do with what the angel was a saying. You know what the angel was a saying? The angel was a saying that Christ, the Shiloh, the peace of God, has come down from heaven down to earth. The peacemaker and the peace giver. Hallelujah tonight. No wonder they broke open in praise and adoration to God. He's lying in the manger. And then suddenly there, the saints are praising because of Him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be in the church house. Amen. Lord, Lord, praise Him. I want to give praise because of Him. It ain't what I've done or what you've done. It's not how faithful you are or how long you've been in the church. It's because what He's done. He died in our stead. He paid the debt of our sin. I'm forgiven not because of my merit, but because of His righteousness. Oh, bless His name. Want to break forth in praise and adoration.
Amen.
The saints are praising for cause. But then in the scripture that I read tonight, He's laying down the ship. And it precedes Him getting up and bringing peace in the time of the storm. You see, the storm was prostrate before Him. He is laying down, but suddenly things began to change. And the storm was prostrate because of who He was. The storm has to lay down. They recognize the authoritative voice of their Creator. And if you study the word there, peace, it means to hush, to be still. And there's another Greek word that implies the same thing, but it is a voluntary stillness. But here in the scriptures, when Christ says, peace, be still, it's as if the storm wanted to still brew over the sea. It was as if the wind did not want to lay down, and the waves wanted to continue to wake. But when He said, peace, be still, they had to stop. They had to quit. They had to hush. Hey, the storm was prostrate before Him. I really believe that when He spoke those three words, every leaf and every tree stopped blowing. I believe every wave and every ripple in the Sea of Galilee, it immediately became as still as a maple. Say, I don't believe it like that. Well, you can be wrong if you want to. I'm just going to believe it like that. My Lord has had time to pass. He said, peace, be still. She laid down. Hallelujah, like a whip. Could not stand up against the authority voice of the Creator. Bless His holy name. There's a third time. In the book of John, chapter number 10, verse 18, Christ utters these words. He said, no man taketh it from me, that is his life. No man taketh it from me. Look what he says, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Hallelujah. He's laying his life down on the cross. If you think they murdered him, you've got another thing coming. If you think they were taking his life, oh no, he was laying it down freely and willingly for every sinner. I know there was human involvement, but God's plan for eternity was for Christ to lay down his life. But you see, laying down his life just preceded something glorious and marvelous. For before he finishes dying that day, he cries and says, it is finished. The sin debt was paid by him. And when he laid down his life, I could not pay for my sin. They were too many and too great. The penalty was too much. But I'm glad he hung on the cross. He gave up his life and he cried, it is finished. Oh, bless his name tonight. What a Savior you and I have. There's a fourth time. Sin is paid by. Again in the book of John and also in the book of Matthew. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never yet man laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, they've laid him in a tomb. But that's just preceding something marvelous and glorious that's fixing to happen. The angels meet the women, and the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He had been laying in the tomb for 3 days and nights. But when Sunday morning come, before the stone was ever rolled away, Christ had already got up out of the graveyard. He had risen victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I'm glad the sepulcher was paralyzed by him. Because he got up, you and I can live. Because he got up, you and I can be raised out of our trespasses and sins. I bless his name tonight. What a Savior. He says, peace. Be still. And let me say this. After this account of the resurrection, I've never been able to find any other place where the Savior ever laid down. Every time I've seen him since the resurrection, he's a sitting or he's a standing. I have not found him laid. But let me tell you, if you ever see him laying anywhere, you just mark her down. Something's fixing to happen. Amen. You ever find him a-laying anywhere? Something is a-fixing to break open. Glory and power is a-fixing to be demonstrated in a magnitude way. Tonight, aren't you glad he can just speak? Peace, be still. And the winds and the seas have to obey. Let's stand. They get an invitation. The Scotch, y'all can come around, sing something for us tonight.
I don't know where you might be. The storm may be howling in your life. Some of you may feel like he doesn't care what you have. But let me remind you, he can say peace. Even when he is asleep in the hinder part of the ship, he is in control of everything that's occurring. He is aware of every crisis, every plight, every desperate situation. Tonight, it's not what I say, but it's what he says. When he speaks to you, you may be here lost. Yeah, good night. I don't know what they're going to sing. These altars are open. I'd invite you to come. We can help you to lie by the Spirit. Would you listen to the Lord tonight?
Somewhere somebody is praying tonight.
He knows where you're walking at.
For a loved one who's wandered away from the light. Faith reaches heaven and God is aware. And forever is changed in a moment of prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. All that we need is still waiting right there, with a few words and a child's faith. It's goodbye to spare. For there's power, so much power, there's power in prayer.
Would you come? They're singing this other verse. Come on.
Bent, broken bodied, all suffering with pain. The doctors have tried, but all hope is in vain. But wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. And all at once, the great physician steps into the room. Oh, there's power.
Step on the bow of your ship and speak peace.
Power to spare, all that we need is still waiting right there, with a few words and a child's faith. It's goodbye to spare, for there's power, so much power.
There's power in prayer. Good job.